I don't need a friend.
Yeah, probably. So this session is to give a quick project update on. There's also an item that Francois has asked to discuss, but the team from downstairs are going to come up, so I'll give the project update and then we'll go and look at the IS 28 point, if that's okay with everyone. So I set out in appendix to this paper a summary of where we were on the various projects. I don't plan to go through it in detail, but now I've got a friend. If you've got any particular questions, we could raise it. And then in appendix 2, which is the last page of the paper, I set out some sort of forward-looking agenda items. But obviously, these are subject to where we get to with the project. And I think particularly around the leases, we may be a little bit further forward by June. So I just wonder if anyone has any comments on the proposals that we're suggesting there. In that case, we can hand over to Francois. Okay.
Thank you, Michelle, and I will try to be quick. First of all, thank you for having accepting that this issue be included in the agenda for today. When we asked for having this issue discussed at the ASAF, it was before the ISB would have deliberated the issue, and I'm conscious that when we talking today, it's in a way after the last deliberation is supposed to have taken place. And in bringing this issue, I mean, there was absolutely no intention whatsoever from EFRAG to undermine the independence of the ISB. I wanted to make that very clear. But really be in the spirit of this forum, which is to help in a constructive manner to the ISB meeting the objective set for IFRS. And so I don't want to get into the technical detail of the issue IS 28 other necessary changes. I would like to remain rather on a higher level perspective and show how this interacts with this particular issue. In doing that, I would like first to highlight that we have been supportive all along of the efforts that the ISB would have to make to reach better consistency in practice. That is very important to us. And so we remain very supportive of the efforts which are made in this area. We believe, however, that there are two very important maybe disciplines to have in this respect. Maybe the first one is to find an intermediate path between the very narrow scoped amendment and the research project or the completely overall of a particular standard or principle. And it seems that this intermediate path seems to be difficult to design in the work that is done. So when, for example, the flow of application difficulties around IS 28 arose last year, I mean, that's how we took this initiative of writing this little paper on the equity method, suggesting that maybe for the time being there may be a certain thing that could be agreed at a higher level that is not the result of the equity method being rethought from A to Z, but just how this equity method fits in the existing IFRS as they are, given the evolution that they have that have brought them into the current state. And that brings me to the second line of discipline, which is that when there have been some in that evolution decisions made that have clarified a certain number of areas or set after very heavy work some strong principle, so that and that's in fact very much linked to the issues we were discussing around complexity yesterday, that this discipline means that when you get to a short-term fix type of issue, this would never be in breach with principles that have characterized IFRS today as a result of recent evolutions. And if we have raised strong concern without this particular amendment, it's because it comes as a breach to the clarification that was brought in 2007 about what comes through the comprehensive income and what comes through equity. And we fully accept that in this particular set of time, the short-term fix may not be an ideal solution, but there are other non-ideal solutions, but possible solutions that would not breach this particular clarity, bring into comprehensive income is the result of transaction with non-owners, and equity is the result of transaction within owners. So that's basically what I would want us to discuss, because first of all, it may help in reaching a different decision on this particular issue, but maybe, and in fact very importantly, if we could agree that these two aspects of the discipline could be taken forward, I guess in the work of the interpretation committee in support of the ISP, that would help considerably.
I'm happy to just start, and thank you for bringing the questions to us. And I guess your comment about sort of narrow scope amendments sort of staying true to the principles and that, and certainly whenever we are bringing proposals initially to the Interpretations Committee or to the Board, our starting point is always the principles. And I think where we then sort of move away from that is where we are looking to see what short-term benefits we can bring that can be achieved within a reasonable period of time, can bring clarity where there's lack of clarity, and we do that on a conscious basis. And knowing that it's the second priority, our preference would always be to go with the conceptual based answer, but in order to achieve the mission set to us of addressing diversity in practice on a short-term basis, we sometimes find ourselves proposing these exceptions from the principles, but we do so after consideration of what the underlying framework or the principles and standards would require.
Yeah, I think, to back up what Michael says, these are always difficult decisions. As he said, we always begin with the conceptual basis and with the principles. Sometimes they don't work so well, sometimes they don't fit the situation exactly. And I think your proposal, Francois, is that we really should have our hands tied, and we must always decide according to the principles. And I don't think that's a practical answer in all circumstances.
So how are you going to ring fence the arbitrary decisions here, which cut across quite a few principles?
Ring fence them in what regard, Kevin?
Make them not an analogy.
Sorry?
To remove the possibility of them being analogized to in other areas.
I see what you mean. Yeah, well, you make it as clear as you can that they're in this particular situation, but the danger always exists.
Equal. I'm in trouble. I wanted to be quiet for this because this is a minor issue. But I share the concern of EFRAG there is a distinction between OCI, or OCI, profit or loss, but such distinction is not so thick distinction, but equity transaction and revenue or expenses are more, should be thicker distinction. Revenue and the expenses can be defined by defining equity transaction or investment from equity holder or distribution to equity holder. I don't know the this transaction belongs to the equity transaction, but more than that, why the equity transaction is to be recycled in the future. So we are support of recycling, but that is only between the comprehensive income and net profit. So I don't understand what you are doing. So maybe explanation is needed. If you don't have a good explanation, so this is a minor issue. The best thing is just leave as it is.
Any other commentary on this?
Huh? Just to say, we're happy to give a hand and help identify an alternative that would not have the disadvantage of breaching what has been made clear in 2007.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I think this brings us to the end of our